First, one of the most popular board games in the world is celebrating a major milestone today. Love it or hate it, Monopoly, the game of property transactions and plastic houses, officially turns 80 years old today. That's 8 decades worth of go passes and collections of $200, which really adds up after a while, it turns out.
According to the game's current publisher, Hasbro, more than 275 million copies of the game have been sold worldwide. Monopoly is available in 111 countries, 43 languages. Throughout the decades, it's gone from a simple board game to a full-blown cultural phenomenon. But as other games have come and gone, how has Monopoly survived and thrived, especially in an increasingly digital world?
Joining us now to talk about the game's lasting influence is Phil Urbanes. He's a board game designer, author, and president of Winning Moves Games. In addition, he's written a handful of books about Monopoly and has served as chief judge at the U.S. and World Monopoly Championships. Phil, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Veronica and Rob. Great to be with you.
So when a person, say, turns 80 years old, we tend to ask them, what's the secret of your longevity? Well, let's do that with Monopoly. What has Monopoly done to keep on going for so long?
Well, I believe in very simple terms, Monopoly is as young as the people who play it currently. So, for example, if you, I, and you know, Rob were sitting around a Monopoly table or Monopoly game, the experience that we'd have around the table would be fresh and new because of who we are and how we interact. The game is just a vehicle for that.
Well, do you think that's true of games in general? It's not so much the game, it's the players?
Not all games, but really great games are long-lived because they bring out delightful parts of our human nature that might otherwise never surface because we tend to be very careful of how we interact with each other. But over a game board, you know, the hair is let down, the top button is unbuttoned, and we just show who we are, and we have a great time escaping real life by playing a game.
Well, it's also been pretty handy turning out editions of new Monopoly games. There's still Monopoly, but there's now Frozen Monopoly, The Walking Dead Monopoly, also, I guess, a Game of Thrones Monopoly coming. Does that sort of popular franchise tie-in help?
Well, isn't that amazing that a game like Monopoly can be extended time and time again, married to a theme that's currently popular, and yet the basic core game doesn't lose any appeal? It just seems to get, you know, more popular. I think the reason is because everybody knows how to play Monopoly, and when you tie it into a theme that you really love, whether it's Frozen today or maybe even a game based on the city of Milwaukee or perhaps it's an old TV show like I Love Lucy, somehow those two interests meld perfectly together, and if you're a fan, you want to have that game for no other reason than simply to collect it and show it proudly in your home.
As we mentioned, we're in an age of digital gaming. There's a big board game boom, too. How has Monopoly bridged that gap and embraced or worked along with technology?
Yeah, I think since the 1980s, Monopoly has been available in increasing alternate media. For example, at first it was just video game cartridges, then home computers, but now you can play Monopoly with your handheld device, and it's possible to play it virtually with people from any country on earth, which is one of the wonderful things about the digital age that we live in.
You know, the thing about Monopoly is it can be a long game. Sometimes you start a game and it just drags on into the wee hours of the night and everyone wants to quit. I've been in games like that. I've been in quick turnaround games. But do you think Monopoly is still well suited to the times, given that this is a game you really have to invest in and focus on?
Well, I have good news there, because for the last few years, a new component has been included in Monopoly called the speed die. And if you use the speed die in play, you can have all of the fun and authentic experience of Monopoly in less than an hour. And that's because with the speed die, properties get into circulation quicker and the big rents get paid more often at the end. So that's been a major reason why Monopoly now is probably more appealing than ever.
Well, can I throw a pet peeve of mine at you, Phil?
Yeah.
The money on the free parking. It's not in the rules, right? It's a house rule. It makes the game longer. I say if you play Monopoly, no free parking money. What's your take?
House rules in general are designed to make the game go on a long time because people don't want it to end. But if you play by the rules, a game of Monopoly, and I've judged so many championships, I can tell you for a fact that even the best players finish a game in 90 minutes, despite all the negotiation that goes on.
Huh.
Well, to spin off that, for me, the big question over the years, and I've given this some deep thought, is do I buy the high-run properties or do I buy the less expensive properties and really get going quickly with houses? Which strategy usually wins?
Well, Veronica, the secret of success in Monopoly is to try to get the oranges or the reds. And the reason is because players go to jail consistently during the game, and they must go through the oranges and the red when they come out. And that means those properties get landed on more often, and because they're relatively inexpensive, you can afford, if you get either of those groups, to quickly build them up. And one other secret is if you look at any property deed in Monopoly, you'll notice a huge increase in rent between two houses on a property and three. So if you can get to the three-house level on a good color group, the chances are you're going to win the game.
Nice. Well, I never knew that. So the oranges and the reds are the middle grade properties. They're neither the cheap ones or the super expensive ones.
Right, but they're sufficiently valuable when you have three houses or more on them to drain the cash from your opponents that would otherwise be used to buy those expensive properties and build expensive houses on them.
Let's keep this between the three of us
so
we can beat everybody. Well, now, as a game designer yourself, what do you see as the influence of Monopoly on board game design since Monopoly?
Well, it's been said very often that if Monopoly was to appear for the first time today, it probably wouldn't succeed because, you know, it's a game that has a bit of a learning curve and it has a lot of concepts that you have to digest. But because it came out during the Great Depression, when people had a lot of time and they could only hope to be rich, they wanted to learn the game, they wanted to play it, and then it became a cultural fixture, and generation after generation was taught the game by, you know, parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles. I clearly remember playing it for the first time with my aunts and uncles and what a thrill it was. So Monopoly is probably not a great indication of what you can do today, but it certainly is an indication of having the right item at the right time. Games today, if they come out and they're new, they have to be something that most people can figure out within 60 seconds. So that's very demanding.
Now, Monopoly, as you said, it's become its own force. It's a cultural icon. The president referenced Monopoly money in a State of the Union speech. What do you think accounts for that?
Because we all know it. Monopoly is, as a judge of world tournaments, one of the things that gives me such pleasure is seeing people from around the world who don't speak our language or we don't speak theirs, but you put them around a Monopoly board and suddenly they smile and they know what to do because Monopoly is a universal language unto itself. So it's so well established, it's so well known, and Monopoly money has so many, it conjures up so many images when you use it in conversation. So why not use it in a presidential speech?
As someone who judges tournaments, Monopoly is a game. It's got dice. It's got random card draws. So how much is there luck and how much is it skill to win this game?
Well, a good friend of mine once told me he thought Monopoly was 75% skill and 75% luck, which is a humorous way of saying that it's very much like real life. You know, if you get a break or two in real life and you have the skills to exploit the breaks, you're going to go far. But if you're a really skillful person who, for whatever reason, just gets a bunch of bad breaks, it takes a long time to overcome them. Monopoly teaches that. So you can be a complete expert and know all of the right things to do in the game, but if you don't get the right circumstances to come your way, it's like real life. You have to work harder.
Now, when you talk about great games of chess, these are things that people say can be games of great beauty and elegance. Is the same thing true of Monopoly? Have you, as a judge, seen some really elegant, beautiful Monopoly games?
Well, I've seen some breathtaking decisions on the part of players that caught everybody by surprise, but then turned out to be the game winner. So that the elegance in Monopoly mainly comes through appreciating the simplicity of the board, you know, and the charm of the playing pieces and the cuteness of the houses and hotels. But the real elegance comes through the human interaction, the deal making that takes place between the players.
as someone who judges Monopoly, you're a game designer yourself. Are you good at Monopoly? Do you tend to win when you play with your peers?
Oh, I get that question a lot. Well, first of all, most people don't want to play me because they have this erroneous assumption that because I know the game so well, I'm bound to win. But for the reasons that I just mentioned, if you can't get other players to deal with you and work with you on trades that will advance your fortunes, it doesn't matter how skilled you are. So I would say that I win my fair share, but I lose as much probably as I win.
Do you think Monopoly today is well-positioned to be an evergreen game, a classic that people are going to play not just for the next several years, the next decade, but well beyond that?
Well, I think as long as there is a need for human beings to connect with each other and to talk verbally and to read facial expressions and to savor the idea of getting rich vicariously, then Monopoly is well positioned to have a long, long run. If we as human beings should shy away from what I just pointed out as our Monopoly strong points, then the game will fade.
Phil, a question we can't let go before we're done here. What's your favorite playing piece?
That's a great one. You know, I have done a lot of research into the psychology of each playing piece, and believe it or not, there is actually a personality profile that typically is associated with each piece. Now, I tend to like the race car, and the reason for that, or the thimble, and I'll tell you the reason. The race car is the only token on the board that actually moves in real life on streets. I think that's pretty cool. Now, I tend to like the thimble if I'm playing really great players because there's a rule of Monopoly that says if a player doesn't realize you owe him or her a rent, you don't have to pay it if enough time goes by, which is two more player turns. So if you have a little innocuous token that doesn't draw most attention, a lot of attention, very often you can, or I shouldn't say very often, but every now and then you can get away from paying a big rent.
Wow, I never knew that. Phil, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Veronica.
That was Phil Urbanes. He's a board game designer, author, and president of Winning Moves Games. He joined us to talk about Monopoly's 80th birthday.
Coming up after the news, Governor Walker's mantra has been that Wisconsin is open for business. Well, is it? We want to hear from you. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.